Osiris.
Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome back to the Best Show Ever podcast, the podcast where I interview folks about the best concerts they ever saw in their lives. And this week is a very special week. I'm your host, Cam Hurt, and we have got some very cool guests on this week. We've got a Connecticut connection going on this week between the two episodes that we have out right now. Every week we put out two episodes. Every week we try to put out an episode with a musician that I'm a big fan of. That's what this episode's going to be. We also try to put out an episode with folks who are in service of the music, whether they're fans or they're, you know, working on fan projects or foundations or things like that. That's kind of how we pair these weeks. The musician episode this week is with Jake Brownstein from Eggy. That's what you're listening to right now. And I have a great conversation with Jake from Eggy. He is a very cool dude. He's a phenomenal guitarist in a really great band. If you haven't checked out Eggy yet, some of the improv that they do in their shows is really, really phenomenal. All of it is really phenomenal. They've been able to see them once, and I'm looking forward to seeing them more in the future. But they are just a group of young musicians who are really tearing it up right now. So if they're coming through your town, check out their tour. If they're coming through, absolutely go see them live. If you haven't had the chance to see them live, they've got shows up on YouTube, full shows. They've got all their stuff on Nugs, their most recent trip to Jam Cruise that we talk a little bit about preparing for on this episode. All that stuff is findable. They've got a new single out right now on Spotify that you can check out. They're a really, really fantastic band that I think is just kind of taken off over the last year. So it's cool to talk to Jake. It's cool to talk to Jake about what's going on in his life, the transitions that are going on for him, and just what that life of being a young man in a band is like. He's able to shed some light on that, and he's a super cool dude. I do want to shout out a couple people real quick on this episode. I've been trying to shout out folks in the scene who I think are doing cool things, who are making cool things. If you're seeing this SpongeBob shirt that I'm wearing right now, if you're watching on the YouTubes, here, I'm gonna stand up a little bit. Boom! Look at that, SpongeBob and a Steely. That is made by a good friend of mine, Toon. He's a Southern California boy. He's a guy who you're going to see outside of a lot of shows here in Southern California. Selling this shirt. Selling other shirts just like it. He's got some Scooby-Doo stuff. He's got some South Park stuff. He focuses on animation and kind of puts that within our world here in the jam world. And I love his stuff. I love the stickers and patches that he makes. Check out Toon on Instagram. Another person who's making some really, really cool stuff is Lot Style Designs. They Lot Style Designs has a bunch of different apparel for men and women. There's a lot of female apparel on her page, though. Pashminas and, you know, cool drapey, I don't even know what to call them, kimonos. And they're all fan-inspired, Dead-inspired, you know, Fish-inspired, Billy Strings-inspired, Goose-inspired. They got a bunch of cool stuff on Lot Style Designs. I've got a little bit of their stuff myself that I'm excited about wearing this summer, but definitely check out Lot Style Designs. They've just got really cool, really cool merch, and they're working really hard. Not knocking anybody else in the scene here, by the way. I'm shouting out some folks who I've been able to interact with, and who I've had some cool exchanges with. Toon is a guy who I've seen some shows with, and Angela, who runs Lot Style Designs, we've been messaging, and she's just the best. Super supportive individuals there. So check them out, support them as well. And sit back and relax and enjoy this conversation that I had with Jake Brownstein from Eggy.
Hello out there.
Yes, hello out there, everyone. I'm Hal Schwartz.
And I'm Flynn McClain. Together, we host None But the Brave, a podcast dedicated to the music and career of Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce and E Street Band are on tour right now for the first time in 6 years, and we're taking a detailed look at what's happening on stage in our bi-weekly episodes.
We've also been recently joined by some very exciting guests, including rock journalist Warren Zanes and Stephen Hyden, Backstreet's magazine founder Charles Cross, and Barstool's Kirk Minahan.
If you're a diehard Springsteen fan, this is the show for you.
So please subscribe to None But the Brave on your favorite podcasting platform, and we hope to see you further on up the road.
Thank you so much! We'll be seeing you!
Hey, what's up? My name's Lurk, and I'm the host of Lambgoat's Van Flip Podcast. Every week, I have in-depth conversations with bands from all over the scene, big and small. We also like to keep our finger on the pulse and showcase up-and-coming bands on the show as well. So come check out Lambgoat's Van Flip Podcast.
Yeah, there's been... In playing music, there's been many a time of just like the one thing you felt really great about just didn't record for whatever reason. And you're like, sick. Or like, I remember I had like a voice memo, like I was like working out a part to the song and like my mom called me and I was like, fuck. Cause it stops recording.
And fuck.
Mom, fuck.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, it was meant to be. It was meant to be that we're going to do another one.
Yeah.
I guess that's how it works, though. Where'd you move to, dude?
So I moved to, like, Fairfield, Connecticut. Cool. Yeah, it was a big step because moved out of the band house. And
got married.
Yeah, I got married. And... Katie had been living in the band house with us. So it was like 5 years of just like a very close knit environment. And it was amazing. But we were like, we're married. I feel like we should, you know, be our own people. So,
yeah. And it's nice to live with the people that you make stuff with. Cause then it's like, you can just pop out of your door and be like, hey, what about, and like, you know, or what if we,
yeah, I feel like there was a lot more of that like early on, and then like especially once touring got like a lot more aggressive and we'd spend so much time with each other, arguably more than like anyone else, I feel like that type of like people would always be like, man, you guys are probably practicing all the time. I'm like, if you're in a band, I could almost guarantee you that your band practices more than us, because it's like having that intention, like so much as to be able to make a phone call. And then even if you're driving 10 minutes, 20 minutes to go meet up with each other, I feel like that formality ends up being like really helpful in getting together and making shit happen. And there's a lot more of that in the beginning. And then after a while, I feel like it just ended up being like, man, like we enjoy each other's company too much. Like, we got to do other shit than just like chill and shoot basketball or, you know, whatever. So.
Do you, you're talking music with me right now. You're talking with music with people all the time. Do you feel like you guys don't talk about music, or you talk about other stuff, or, you know?
I'm pretty dense, man. Like, I like Donnie and Mike, like, they're very smart and fact oriented. Like, they have incredible recall. And for me, I just, even the books I choose to read, like, it's all very centered around music, even if it's an indirect way, like books about like following your passion and reaching flow. And so I try and go outside the box a little bit, but I feel like all I'm good for is talking music or about the band, or that's just kind of where my energy gets channeled. I don't know. I keep hoping that one day I'm like become able to talk about, I don't know, what world war happened, or, you know, whatever, you know, like, yeah, yeah. Like, I don't remember anything that I learned at one point in time. So.
Yeah, we'll be way cooler when we're talking about what world war happened. When you and I get to the age where we're talking about world wars,
yeah,
then we'll be cool. No, I mean, like, I feel, because I don't live with my, I live with my girlfriend now, and I don't live with, like, my main buddy who I do all my comedy stuff with. And, yeah, like, we have to, like, make time to hang out, or we have to, like, make time to talk about the stuff we're going to do in the next year. It's not like we're just sitting on the couch and I'm like, oh yeah, so for January, what are we going to, like, you know, it's, we kind of have to like create that time now, and it is then served for that time. We don't really get distracted. You know, we end up just talking about.
Yeah. It's so awesome to just be like, this is, we both have a common goal. This is what we know we want to do when we get together. And just the distraction becomes like a little bit less. And I think whatever's going to happen organically will happen organically.
Yeah.
But sometimes there's just a lot to be said about just making the time for it, even if you don't have an idea. And ultimately, if you have good chemistry, something will come out.
Yeah. It's weird what gets squeezed out when you're just like, I don't have anything right now, or I don't really want to even do this right now or meet up, and then like some brilliant, nice, cool thing gets squeezed out that you weren't even thinking of, which is great. That's awesome, man. When I've seen you guys play, you guys have such a great chemistry. I know that that's like a compliment that I'm sure that you receive all the time, but you guys are like, yeah, all over each other listening wise. And that's what I come to those shows for, is the improv. And I feel like I texted you right after, like, the improv was great tonight. And it's a little like, duh, but
I always appreciate hearing it, man, for sure.
Yeah, man.
And sometimes, you're in your head, so
yeah. No, not me. I don't know, some people are for sure in their heads. That doesn't happen for me, so I'm just pure inspiration all the time. No, of course
you
get in my
head
hat
on, because otherwise all the air will fly out.
Exactly, dude. That's why I keep a hat on inside. Yeah. So, well, we're going to talk about, you've done some great shows with Eggie this year. You guys have got some cool dates coming up, I'm sure. But we're not talking about any of those shows today, dude. We're talking about shows that you've been to. And so before we get into your best shows ever and all that kind of stuff, what's the first concert that you ever remember seeing?
I think the first concert that I remember seeing was Blues Traveler at Toad's Place. I went with my dad and my sister, and just remember being blown away at the fact that somebody could play harmonica like that. And I knew some of the songs, a lot of them I didn't know, but it was just cool. It was like my first time going to like a rock club and kind of getting that feeling. And then the first like bigger show I had been to was Red Hot Chili Peppers, their Stadium Arcadium tour. And that was an incredible time. We were like as high in the nosebleeds as you could ever be. It was my dad and my two sisters. And just, I had really fallen in love with that band. I think I was in seventh grade. And so I'd been listening for at least a few years to the Chili Peppers. And that's probably like the first band that I really, really wanted to see, that I got the opportunity to see. And I even remember like looking behind me and some dude had like a Ziploc bag full of joints. And that was the first time I remember at least being like, damn, people are blazing up here. And going back to my dad's cousin's house, he's like, what were you guys? Were you guys blazing all night? And we're like, not us. He was behind us.
So your dad a big music fan? Was he going to a lot of shows with you?
Yeah, I got into music because of my dad. He plays guitar, would write a bunch of songs, and a lot of like my earliest memories with music was like him playing guitar to me and my sisters. And that's really where I caught like a feel for it. And some of the earliest things that I learned on guitar was from him. And just, it was just always really cool, like always trying to show me new music and stuff. And it created a cool relationship with just me trying to find, he knew so much music that I would always try and, I feel like a big reason why I would seek out music was to be like, how can I get in the car with this guy and make him impressed that I found something that he didn't know or whatever. And we would always play like Name That Song or whatever. And I would always be like so ashamed when I didn't know, because he would always be like, come on, like you don't know
really
this. And I'm like, no, everything I know is from you pretty much. So yeah. So we'd go to a bunch of shows, and now it's become full circle that now he's going to shows that I'll go to, like if Dead & Company comes around or anything like that. He's always trying. He's like, when are we going to Umphrey's or whatever? I'm like, man, it's so cool. So,
yeah, that is awesome. It's nice. It's nice to have something with your dad that, like, you know, our generation, at least for me, likes to reach back and find the music from their era. And so that's got to be, I know, you know, for me and my dad, he loves to talk to me about that stuff, and he never makes me feel bad about like not knowing songs or not knowing eras or whatever it is. But I do. I'm like, I gotta know that. And he's like, I don't gotta know that. It's worthless knowledge. And I'm like, no, you gotta know when they switched guitarists in 83, dude. Like, I do not know.
Yeah. I've always been, I feel like my music knowledge as far as like who's in what band and what year something came out like plateaued like 10 years ago. And like someone like my uncle, he knows that stuff so well. Like he knows all the small details, and I'd always go over his house and kind of just, he'd be playing something on like some radio station, and it would say like the artist, the year that it came out, and he would always nail that stuff. And I'd be like, I gotta learn how to do this. And I realized that I can't do that really that well.
You're like, maybe I'll just learn how to play and we'll just see how that goes instead of knowing.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even remember I can't even remember what year I did something really. So how am I I'll get lost.
That'll be fun though. And you get like the crazy Eggy fans that know all the stats, and you're like, that's great. Someone tell me those, 'cause I don't know them. And so
I know, man, I've gotten bad. Like I'm so dependent because Donnie and I, we started the band a long time ago, and we used to send all the emails. We used to book all the shows, like, and so I was painfully aware of every little thing that we were doing. And then as soon as we kind of grew and now we have the booking agency and all that stuff, like fans will know where I'm going so much better than I will. Like,
yeah,
I don't know where, like it's a cliche, like it's like, oh, I don't know, I just hop in the van, but it's like, I really, right. I mean, it's so true. I just hop in the van. I know generally, but I'm so dependent on everyone else for letting me know what's good. But it's a nice place to be, because that means that there's enough things that are kind of going on without my aid.
Yeah, man, it's good to have people. It's good to have people helping out and helping you out. It's also funny to think of like a fan being like, "We'll see you in Charlotte," and you're like, "We're going to Charlotte." I had no idea. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we played this show this past tour, and I think we were in Florida, and it was like the end of the show, and I'm usually not even the type of person to be like, "Thank you, wherever," or like. But I like turned around and I was like are we in Florida? Like to the band, I'm like, are we in Florida? Like, everyone's like, what are you saying? And because it's like in that moment where like we're going crazy, like big finale. And I like even go to the talk back. I'm like, are we in Florida? And they're like, yeah, we're in Florida. I was like, thank you, Florida. So, I mean, there's sometimes that just the wheels get totally spun. And I'm like, I knew where I was at some point earlier in the day. But once the music got going, it kind of lost me again.
That's so good, man. Yeah. You don't got to know where you're at. You don't. That's not up to you, man. You don't got to know. It's all good.
You just need to know where you are in your heart and in your soul.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And sometimes you're in Florida. And so you just got to keep that in mind. You don't have to put any artists down with this question. But do you have a worst concert that you ever saw, or like a worst performance of some kind?
Actually, yeah, I could bring it back to that show. The Red Hot Chili Peppers show. They had Mars Volta open up, which is a great, great band. And I definitely had a moment with Mars Volta where I thought that they were like one of the best bands of all time. But I don't know what their deal was. I mean, they were like falling all over the floor. And I think it was like in an age where they were doing way too many drugs or something. But I remember I was young. So I didn't have like a real reference, but other people that were like in our section that were big fans of the band, they were so put off. They're like, they're usually such a technical band. Doesn't seem like they can play anything right now. I just remember leaving that being like, man, that's one of the worst musical moments I could ever imagine existing.
Yeah, and like it really sucks bad when you can tell someone's like a little too, I don't know if this was the case that night, but if they're like a little too gone to be doing the show. Like I've seen that band on stage be like, whoa, these guys like really took advantage of the green room situation, or something is going on.
Yeah, it's always funny how that works. And then especially in our kind of musical community, I'll always see comments on Instagram being like, is John Mayer tripping this show? Like,
right.
And he's like absolutely killing it. And so I never know. I really never know when somebody's what they're up to or anything like that.
Yeah. The show that I have in my mind that I can think of that was really bad in that way, like it was like the front man was on the mic a lot in between songs. And that's when it was made pretty clear. And like, that was like, okay. This is like a fucking mess right now.
I also didn't really love Jane's Addiction when I saw that.
Mm.
That was at Gathering of the Vibes one year where, I don't know, I feel like, I'm trying to remember the singer's name. Do you remember?
Oh, man. That's,
Perry, I don't know, whatever. He was like dissing the crowd super hard. He was like, I see all of you out there with your glow sticks and worshiping Jerry Garcia. And I was just like, dude, fuck you. You're at like a fucking hippie festival. Like,
no,
yeah, we're all worshiping our glow sticks. And He's like, oh, you're going to go smoke some weed now. It's like, dude.
Yeah. Maybe. Everyone was going to like stop and be like, wait, yeah, this is lame.
Yeah. Yeah. But I've been fortunate that a lot of shows that I've been to have not been either of those two experiences.
Oh, yeah. It's just, sometimes those ones stick out. And so sometimes you can remember them a little bit, but we don't have to hang on the negative for too long. It is difficult to pick your best show ever. And so do you have any like honorable mentions that you'd be remiss if you didn't bring up on the show?
Yeah. So we can go into like a quick view that, and then I'll get into what I deemed, I'm going to say the best experience ever. So loved seeing Chris Thiele with Brad Meldow. It was like a duo show. And it was like a sit-down concert. That was an incredible show. Went to see Songs in the Key of Life tour with Stevie Wonder. And wow. Those are some of the greatest songs of all time. Yeah. And of course, been to like a lot of great Fish shows and everything like that. But for me, and I don't know if I'm painting outside the lines here, but I wanted to say that my first Gathering of the Vibes, so in 2010, that was like the first music festival I'd ever been to. And that for me is what I am calling my best show ever. Obviously, it's a bunch of shows. It's a four-day music event. But to me, that's like what I think had like the largest impact on me. That, I mean, I remember after I went to that festival being like, I don't think there's a day in my life that I'm ever going to not think about that weekend. And it was absolute culture shock. Like I'd been to some jam shows and everything like that. But this was like the first time that I had ever like entered that portal of what a festival is. And it was summer going into senior year of high school. And it just blew my mind. I mean, I remember my uncle's a huge Deadhead, been to like hundreds of shows, which I think a lot of people have that uncle that yeah.
That guy around.
Yeah. But he would always tell me, I mean, ever since I was like in fifth grade, he'd be like, man, Bob Weir's playing with Rat Dog in Hartford, like always telling me some show that's coming to town. And I would go home to my dad and be like, why is Uncle Tom like always telling me about these shows and never bringing me? Like, I don't get it. And pretty much within seconds of walking into the Gathering of the Vibes, I was like, whoa, like this is why my uncle never brought me to one of these things. Like, this is kind of something that you have to find yourself. And then maybe we can end up going together, but like, couldn't in good conscience, like, bring a young kid to a Rat Dog show or something like that. Yeah,
there are people who, and I do think it's cool when people make like a family vibe out of, you know, coming to Dead & Co or Fish or whatever it might be. But like, that's how it worked for me too. It was just like, I know you like Tweezer Bud, but you can't come with to the Fish show because it's a little different than what you're used to.
Yeah. I think probably selfishly, like my uncle had his own shenanigans that he was getting up to that. He's like, oh, I don't really want to be here with my young nephew.
Totally.
Yeah. That's not when he was going for the whole family vibe. Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. It was amazing. It was, it was Further, Keller Williams and the Rhythm Devils, Jimmy Cliff was there. Little Feet was there.
Wow.
Primus, Umphreys. So I saw all those acts for the first time. And yeah, just so many stories from the festival that I just remember sometimes you're in those moments where you're like, this is something I'm going to remember forever. Sometimes you have some moments and you don't realize when you're in that, but sometimes you're like taking these mental snapshots being like, this is a forever type of thing. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, people were walking around being a junior in high school and seeing like every strain of weed ever before. One of my friends, Edward, who's actually the namesake of Eggy, he was just on a hunt. He was buying an eighth of weed from anyone basically that offered it to him. So he had this like huge collection of just like every strain of marijuana he could possibly imagine. And that's a funny segue into, so we were all at some show during the day, and we get back and like Edward just like looks so guilty, like so upset. And we're like, what's going on, dude? And he's like, I fell asleep. Like I was smoking some weed, like fell asleep, like on the trunk. And he's like, I woke up like really like he was like sitting in the trunk, and he's like, I woke up like really paranoid because I had fallen asleep. And he's like, I locked both of the keys in the car. And you're like, dude, because it was car camping. We're like, dude, what are we going to do? And I remember we were trying for hours to get the keys out of the car. And this dude, I'll never forget it, this guy named Stoney was like, are you guys locked out of the car? And we're like, yeah. He's like, I can help you guys get out. And we're like, sick, dude. Like, thank you so much. He's like, give me like 15 minutes. I got to go do like a fat line of ketamine, and then I'll come back and I'll unlock this car for you. And Vibes is the type of place that like you could set off the alarm in your car and somebody's going to be like, yeah, like I love this, you know, like, and so that definitely happened in the pursuit of trying to unlock it. But believe it or not, Stoney was able to, you know, we all get into whatever mind state that we need to accomplish the task at hand. And I guess him partaking in that was the thing he needed to get us free. And so funny.
He's like, you just got to give me a minute. Just give me 1 second. I'll be right back and we'll be in the car. No problem. It's just ketamine. Don't talk to me until I've had my ketamine.
I mean, it totally wasn't 15 minutes. Like we were like, he's never coming back. Like this dude is never coming back. And he found his way.
He's like on weed dealer time. He's like an hour and a half later.
Yeah.
What's up? Well, you guys. Hey, what's up? Yes, the car.
Yeah, I'm sitting in this parking lot for the last. yeah, man. I mean, that's just Vibes was kind of my first real intake of like the live music experience in the way that I know it to be now. And just I'd never like danced at a concert before. And I remember like the moments of being like feeling that freedom and feeling that like just liberation of just being like, because especially when you're young and in high school, like you're not confident necessarily. I mean, I wasn't feeling like, oh, I'm going to just dance in front of all these people. Like no one's watching. And I remember just like that feeling of being like, this is okay. Like this is the type of environment where people are encouraging that, and to find what works for you and find your voice and just experiencing further for the first time and kind of being able, that was the first time I saw any of the living members of the dead. And just was an unbelievably transcendent experience and something that I feel like, I remember we at the Days Between Festival in New Orleans, I sat like on a Relics panel and there's a bunch of us there, and Dave Shaw from the Revivalists, which I thought was really cool. He was like, I think the question was like, how do you decide what songs you're going to play? And he said something that resonated with me a lot, where he's like, I think some songs are like good in like a closed room. And he's like, but some songs are great in open air. And to me, so much of the Grateful Dead catalog, just it is the, like, there might not have even been a gust of wind, but you still feel it on your face, you know?
Yeah.
And it has like this breathability and this just this feeling that is so hard to describe unless you've been there. And that was definitely the first time I felt that, where I'm like, man, this is like, this is music for the soul. And I'd been listening to the Dead for at least a few years, but really getting to see it live was just crazy.
I mean, it's like you love to go watch a great band play the songs that you love and nail it, or, you know, add something to it live. But that music, you know, the Grateful Dead music especially, is alive. You like, and you watch it change a crowd. Like, you can watch when they like bust into like Dancing in the Streets, which is just like a fun cover, you know, the way that they go about doing something like that, like moves the entire crowd to be like spinning and dancing. And there's not a lot of shows like that. There's just not a lot of music like that, really. Do you, between playing indoors and outdoors, do you feel like you have a preference between the two, like with Aggie music?
I think that, I think I love a small club. Like, I think that there's just like something about being in a really sweaty, hot room that always brings something out of us. And I think that like the audience, like there's like a hotter temperature in the room just overall. But I mean, there's nothing like playing to, anytime we've gotten the opportunity to play like to people as far as the eye can see, I mean, it's a trip and it's a dream. And to play outside and feel, I mean, it's a little bit different for us because we're hearing it all a little bit differently, but to just to know like how much the music is carrying and how much like room it has to spread, is always just so cool. I mean, there's nothing a guitar player loves more than turning their amp up as loud as they can and just knowing that sound is, cause I mean, I've played shows where I had the amp up a little bit loud and somebody in the front row, like we're in a club or something, and somebody's like, man, great show. Like, you blew me out with that amp. Like, you just totally destroyed. I don't think I'll ever hear the same again. So it's cool to be able to be in an environment where sound is meant to travel in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Was there, that day at Gathering of Vibes, was there a show that sticks out the most, or was there like a musician that, I mean, the names that you listed off, it's like a ton of iconic musicians just in those couple groups that you named.
Yeah, I mean, Primus was really, really cool, and the people that I was with were like really excited about seeing Primus, and I wasn't sure what side of the fence I was going to be on, like, especially like at the point that it was in the night, I was like, am I going to be like terrified by this music? Like, is this going to like send me down like a rabbit hole but I absolutely loved it. And I think Les Claypool, I've seen him in a bunch of different environments, like, and I think when he plays to a festival crowd, like, he really leans in on some of like the banter and just like some of that confusion to be like, I don't even know what he's saying right now, but you're making me feel a certain type of way about it. And that was really awesome. I would say the thing that the show, which I'm going to shout out, CT Pride, that's when I saw Kung Fu for the first time, which is like Tim Palmieri. He now plays with Lotus, but I just remember just the complexity of their music was just absolutely mind blowing. And I was, and then Tim had said into the mic, like, oh, like happy to be playing in our home state of Connecticut. And I was like, whoa, like these guys are from Connecticut, and ended up connecting with Tim. And I mean, such a long lasting relationship with Tim. I mean, we'll go play racquetball together and hang out, but he was a guitar teacher of mine for probably 3 or 4 months, something like that. And him as a player has just made a tremendous impact on my playing and how I view the possibility of guitar. And the only person that I play with every now and then that truly intimidates me, like all I want to do is like play as good as possible when I either play with him or I know he's in the audience or whatever. And I feel like I've shaken a lot of that feeling with playing festivals and knowing that people are there side stage and listening and whatever, or opening for bands that I've grown up like loving to go to their shows and stuff, and kind of getting over that like being in my own head type thing and being like, oh, what are they gonna think? But with Tim, it's like I'll even like talk to myself before the show being like, you got this, like, and okay. For whatever reason, and I'm sure he would not like to hear this because like we've got a lot of love for each other, and nobody wants to think that they're like infiltrating somebody's zone, but like he totally I'm always just like, man, I cannot break through with this guy. Like I just he'll even be like, oh man, I wish you opened up a little bit more. I'm like, dude, I'm so like afraid right now.
You gotta have those guys around though, you know, like that. It is nice to have like, you know, so-and-so from this management group is here that you've like never met before, but like, it's like, that's like having like an older brother come to your show or like an uncle or something. You're like, oh fuck, this is like, I got to show this guy that I've gotten better. And
I mean, it's been like that my whole life. I mean, I remember like learning, like being up in my room and learning something on guitar. And then like, I mean, we've all gone through it where it's like, you practice something so many times and I'm like, hey, like I'm gonna go show my dad right now, and then like just totally blow it in front of him and be like fuck, why that time could I not nail it or whatever. It's good to be humbled, and there's no shortage of that. I mean, there's so many great players and songwriters in music in general, but especially in our community. And so it's, you're never too far from somebody that just can give you a real masterclass in music.
Yeah. And that, I mean, such a cool thing that he's from where you're from, he's around, like, you know, I grew up in Wisconsin really. And so it's a similar thing. Like no one's from Wisconsin. So when you find out like a comedian is from Wisconsin, or you find out like someone's doing, like someone's on writing for a TV show and they went to University of Wisconsin, you're like, oh shit, like I gotta know this guy, that's my boy, that's our guy.
Yeah And it's been cool seeing Tim play with Lotus, just because they'll play to big crowds and stuff, and we all in the band totally get that feeling of like, that's our fucking guy, like look at him. And I mean, he's just so amazing and really, really nice guy and super generous with his knowledge and stuff. And so it's cool to have a role model like that.
Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate you so much for coming on the show, man. I've been loving going to Eggy shows. I've been loving like getting to know you a little bit here. And I appreciate you taking some time out of your morning to talk with me. Do you have anything coming up soon? Anyone that you're going to see that you're excited about, or anyone that you guys are playing alongside that you're stoked to watch?
Well, we just had a great tour with Daniel Donato. We did like 2 weeks with them, and all the guys in the band are just great players, great guys. And that was like our first time doing like the co-headline thing. So it was a lot of fun to kind of just shoot the shit with them and play. And there was some type of collaboration basically every show. And that was really great. Yeah, Jam Cruise. I mean, that's going to be awesome. That's like a huge bucket list thing for. Have you ever been?
I've never done it. No.
No. So I've always wanted to just go and
right.
But like most things, I feel very fortunate that at the time that I finally get myself to go is when I'm like a part of it and getting to play. And we're doing over COVID, we did like a choose your own adventure, which was like a storytelling experience where fans got to choose, like basically come up with their own set list through like a interactive storytelling. So we would write a segment and then there would be just like the books, like they would have to choose something that would lead to a song that we'd play. And then we'd keep writing and keep writing until the whole story was done. And so we're going to do something similar to that with special guests. And that'll be a cool thing to be able to bring to, we've never done anything like that live. What else? We're doing a show at the Brooklyn Bowl, which is going to be cool. It's like, it's for the holiday Purim, which is basically like just an excuse for people to dress up. And I think the show is in March. Yeah. So I think it'll be really disorienting and weird and trippy to have like people be like, why are we dressing up in March and not for Halloween? So,
yeah.
Yeah. Lots of good stuff going on. I mean, I feel very blessed and very fortunate that people are giving us love and opening up their hearts and their ears to what we're doing. And just the opportunities that we've been able to take and experience, especially over the last year and kind of bleeding into this new year. It's just really, really special.
You guys absolutely deserve it. And that was a point well made earlier about how once you kind of put something out, it's not up to you what becomes iconic or like what gets picked up, or you just got to keep doing well and keep showing up. And people recognize a really cool connection when they see it. They recognize something cool when they see it, and all of that. It's so, you guys put so much time into what you do, but it's like not up to you, you know. It's like, it's really up to who, like you said, who's listening to it and who's taking it in. And you would love to direct that moving forward. Like you would love to be able to like, and then we're going to do this and that's how it's going to go. But I'm excited to see what pops up for you guys. I'm excited to see what happens throughout the shows that you guys have coming up. And I cannot wait to hear this new stuff, dude. It's going to be awesome.
Thank you, man. Yeah. I'll send it your way. And just a quick touch point. Have you seen the Jim Carrey commencement speech? It's like a 25 minute video or whatever. But something he said was kind of like, something along the lines of like, don't be afraid to ask the universe what you want, but don't be worried about how it comes to pass. And I think that's just the spirit of what we're trying to do, where We're not meant to direct it. And Rick Rubin is another great example of somebody that really has that type of philosophy where he's like, you know, write the music for you, like do what makes you excited. And because ultimately, if you try and figure out what somebody else wants, either you're going to cut off inspiration or you're just going to be on a goose chase for something that you're never going to be able to catch, because you can know when something is good, but you don't necessarily know how that's going to ripple and how it's going to affect people. And so ultimately, like making stuff that makes you happy and it feels like you're following your purpose, everything else is kind of out of our hands. And so, like you said, you put in the work, you stay busy, you do what you love, and you do what you feel you're meant to do. And then everything else will work out, just not in a way that any of us can predict. And I think that's what makes life exciting, right? Is to not know how it works out. And anytime you're trying to figure it out too much, you're missing the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. It's completely true. And his Rick Rubin's book and that idea that you just touched on there, I mean, is like, you know, I haven't talked about it too much, but that is like truly what led to the videos, like the me doing the fish jam stuff. Oh, I mean, it's so easy to be precious and it's so easy. I mean, we're all smart and everyone, if you want to create anything, knows what they'd like it to be. And it's so hard to just, you know, bring it out and have it sit there exactly what you'd like it to be, like whether it's a musical concept or like a joke or a idea for a TV show or a book or something or art, like, you know, it's just you have to get out of your own way and like let whatever comes out be what it is. And I think, you know, two or three years ago, like the comedian I was would have never let the videos that I make go out, because I do them really quick and I make them happen really fast, and like I don't think too hard about it. I'm like, here's the joke, let's hammer the joke and put this out. And it's just funny how that's what connected. And I, you know, of all the stuff that I've done, I'm like, that is not exactly what I would have connected. And now it happens within that too. Like there's stuff where I'm like, man, I took 2 seconds to make that video, but I'm glad all of you like it. But this one over here is kind of the one, and you guys kind of missed it. You know, like, you're like, oh, I worked hard on this or whatever. Yeah,
that's the story of our lives. It's like we announced like a single that we worked really hard on, and then like it's like a video of me dressed up as the Jesus, like licking a bowling ball. But it's all you. Like, it's all fun, and I think that's what's really cool about it, is like we might have things that we care about more than others, but like it's all a reflection of you. It's all a reflection of your voice and your personality. And I love what you do, man. I think it's great. I think that it's really special that you kind of found this voice and this perspective that just hadn't really been going on. And I think that there's so much joy, but also so much to kind of laugh about, and like how we all operate when you're like insanely obsessed with music, and just kind of we're all in this weird world that like so many other people don't fully understand. And I think that you tap into that in a really, really cool way. And from as quick as possible from idea to execution, you know, I think that's the whole thing. It's like we can't let things marinate for too long, because we got more work to do. You got more videos to make, I think the times that you spend so much time on something, then like you're so much more sensitive. It's not saying don't care, but it's trusting your instincts that if it's responding with you, then it's probably all good, and it probably passes the test. And yeah, I think that when we're too precious about something, then we do get invested in the reactions and the response, and it could be disheartening. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, like something that brought you so much joy, now you're kind of thinking about it in this weird way. And so I think that's awesome. I think that's the method, and something that we try and do is just like, this is sounding good, this is feeling good. Like, no matter what you do, you're going to be like, oh, I could have added this joke, or I could have said this a little bit differently. Yeah. And so totally. It's, like, it's going to happen anyways. Like, you can't put that shit on you when you're being creative. Like, you'll never put anything on.
That is perfect. Yeah. And I talk about that with Brian from Dogs on his episode. He very astutely was like, we were talking about making albums, and I was like, is there ever an album that you go back and listen to that you guys have made where you're like, ah, shit, I wish we would have, you know, incorporated this, or now we do this and we didn't do it back then. I wish we could go back and like doctor an album. And he was pretty much just like, no, we'll just do it on the next one. I'm like, right. Absolutely. Yeah, totally. Everyone just comes to that conclusion immediately and is smart in that way. Like, you know, I would love to go back and change like everything that I've ever done, but you can't live that way. You know, like it's like you said earlier, it's on the next one. Like you put that change into the next thing that you do, into the next thing you do, into the next thing you do, like forever now.
Right,
you know?
That's evolution. It's meant to grow into the next stage, and that's what ends up becoming your story. And yeah. And I think that's cool.
It is cool. Man, and this was very cool. Thanks so much for doing the show, dude. I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you having me, man.
Yeah, man.
Well, that, folks, was a very cool conversation that I got to have with Jake Brownstein from Eggy. He was super cool for coming on and doing the episode. Become a really big fan of his and the rest of the band over at Eggy. These guys are killing it right now. Like I said in the intro, please go check them out when you get the chance. They are killing it right now. Getting to talk a little bit about like his hometown roots in Connecticut and the musicians that he looks up to, like Tim Palmieri, and just gives a cool insight into some of these musicians. You know, when you watch someone play live, especially a band that's clicking like Eggy is, you don't assume that they have nerves. You don't assume that they have people that they are nervous for showing up to the show, or especially at the pace they're playing now. They play a bunch of great shows all the time. You would assume that they're a little more in a different place with that, but everyone has nerves. Everyone has people that they want to play well for and show up for. It was cool to hear Jake talk about Tim a little bit in that way. And we talk even more about his creative process and Eggy's creative process in a bonus clip that I've got this week. If you are not a member of the Patreon yet, there's a Patreon page for the best show ever. You pay $4 a month and you get access to bonus clips every single week of one of the cool guests that I've got on. We have got early releases of every episode. So these all come out on Tuesday, as you well know. They come out on Monday on the Patreon, so you get a little early access there. And we've also got merch that I am still working on, about to roll out soon. And I'm going to roll that out first for the Patreon members, hopefully with a little discount on there as well. So if you're looking for merch, if you're looking for bonus clips, if you'd like to be first, go ahead and become a member of the Patreon. Subscribe on the YouTube channel. I always post clips there first. Subscribe to us on Spotify, and if you could give us a rating on Apple Podcasts, that would be super helpful. Those kind of things help us show up well in the algorithm over there. That's what we're always working with, the algorithm. Super fun. Got another episode out right now with two buddies of mine, Marina Weiss and Vince DeMichel. Vince is in the band called Loom. They make the song that I put at the end of every clip, that the bumper music that you heard at the beginning and end of this episode, that's Loom's song, What I Mean. Vince plays bass in that band. We talk a little bit about Loom in the other episode that's out this week, but we also just talk about Vince and Marina's shows that they've seen and some really, really good stories. I don't want to blow any of that for you. So go check that out. Become a member of the Patreon so you can get early access to the episodes that are coming out next week. And next week we've got Roy Donk, the baklava guy. If you've ever gotten baklava outside of a show at Fish, this is the CEO, the head dude of that. We also got Sarah Elaz, who is a musician. She's a bassist, works out of New York. She's in a band called Boojum. Got a bunch of cool bands that she plays in right now. They're buddies. Good week next week. Check that out and get early access to it on the Patreon. And until next time, guys, have a great show.
Hi, this is Henry Kay, host of the number one music history podcast, Rootsland. Come with me on a journey to Kingston, Jamaica, where we explore the world of reggae music and the untold stories of some of the genre's greatest legends. From the ghettos and tenement yards where the music was born, to the island's iconic recording studios. We are so excited to team up with Osiris Media, the leading storyteller in music. Because as you'll hear, sometimes the story is the best song.
I don't think it overstates things to say that the Beatles were the greatest gift to entertainment and culture of our time, a secular religion, if you will, with their universal appeal and demonstrable impact on people's lives. I'm Robert Rodriguez, host of Something About the Beatles. With every episode, I speak with historians, musicians, artists, and Beatle witnesses, all in the service of fresh insights into the most joyous cultural entity the world has ever known. I hope you'll join me and listen to Something About the Beatles, now on Evergreen and wherever you get your podcasts.